you are about to step into the Beryl Solomon podcast show. No fluff, talking about greatness, talking about wealth, talking about how to become the number one man or woman in your space. Let's roll.
For real Jewish businessman.
Shout out the homie Solomon. Nobody was following that. Everybody follow him.
For real Jewish businessman.
All right, welcome everybody to the Beryl Solomon show. Today we have an excellent, very special guest, my father, Jeff Solomon, the legend himself. I wanted to bring my dad on the show today because we talk a lot about startups, but here's a man who built a business that has been in existence for 40 years, and I surmise that it's going to be a business for another 40 years, God willing.
I hope so.
Right?
Yeah, I hope so.
What happened was, when I was 16 years old, my father died in a plane crash. And he left us penniless. I had a next door neighbor who is in the same business that I'm in the metal recycling business, and the guy took me on as a helper. So it became a part-time summer job. I contributed to the household expenses, gave the money to my mother, helped her pay the rent and everything. And slowly but surely, I started to get an education in that business. In the fall, I went back to school. And that was in 1974 when Nixon normalized relationships with the Chinese. And the Chinese came looking for scrap metal, and they drove the price of scrap through the roof. Now, I was only 18 years old, and I didn't have much experience. I didn't understand anything about business. And in those years, we had very, very high inflation. Bank rates, your mortgage rate on your house was 18%. If you put money in the bank, they paid you 14 or 15%. And inflation was running at 15, 16% a year. And I thought this was the natural trend of events. I mean, things are people do things in a different fashion today. In those days, today if you go to a bank and you put together a program and you make it look like you're something else, people are willing to work with you. In those days, I mean, when I started to get into that business, all the guys in the local industry, they did their best to shut me out because they were afraid of a competitor. If I would try and sell something to them, they would tell me we're not interested. If I go and try and buy something from a guy, well, we're not interested in doing business with you. And everybody today seems to work together. If you know how to use the tools,
yeah.
It seems to me it's all young people. They just do things differently. And I see when you start to use the tools that are available today, if you use your head, you can get a lot further today with nothing than you could back then. Okay. There's several things that you have to take into account to make your business last that long. The most important thing is you got to love what you do. When you walk in the door every day, you got to enjoy what you're doing, because if you don't enjoy what you're doing and it becomes a drudge, how are you going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it? You got to love what you're doing. That's number one. You got to get the best education possible in your business. Mm-hmm. You have to know exactly what it is that you're doing all the time. Mm-hmm. You want your business to last, you got to be learning all the time. And that's what the guy told me. He said, if you really like what you do, and the last thing is you have to be organized. You have to have data in front of you. You got to know what your costs are. You have to know what your expenses are. You have to know how your customers are perceiving what your services are. And just, you got to stick with it. You can't allow yourself to get discouraged. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times you get kicked in the teeth, you got to pick yourself up, you got to dust yourself off, and you just got to start all over again. And if you just keep doing that, all of a sudden you make a deal here, you make a deal there, all of a sudden you have 3-4 people there, your regular customers, and then a year later you have 7 or 8 people, and before you know it you have 50, 60, 100 regular customers that are calling you for your services all the time.
How to compete with the big boys. This is something that I appreciated in my father's company. We're probably one of the smaller guys out there when I first started with you. I'd say you guys are one of the small to medium guys, because there's some mammoths in your business. You have some billion-dollar players. But nonetheless, you push and shove around the big guys every day. So how do you compete with the big boys?
Well, if you want to compete with the big boys, it's very, very important that you establish niche markets. Mm. Because if you want to try and tackle the big boys, so I'll give you an example. In our business today, in the regular scrap metal of the steel and the aluminum and the copper and the brass, the margins have shrunk to nothing, and the capital investment that's required to be in those businesses is huge. Mm-hmm. In your business,
yeah.
Okay, you developed a couple of niches that you were explaining to me today
yeah.
that sets you apart from the other guys.
Yes.
Your presentation with your pad that you send out to the guys, that they open it up and your video is there. It's a well-presented item. Nobody does that. So what happened with us is there were certain products that I never really knew existed. I was the only salesman in the company at the time. And I decided that we were gonna hire another guy and I was gonna train that guy to look for these various products. It's always niche, and that's you wanna compete with the big boys, you can't compete with them. You can grow alongside them, but you can never compete with the big boys because they have too many resources.
Right.
So what you have to do is you have to look for products that are not dependent on those resources, where the profit margins are better, there's less competition. People are looking for service. You know, you can go out and you can buy all the t-shirts that you want at Walmart for $2.50. You have to do what your competitors are not doing. And that's the secret to success. That's the secret to competing with those guys. When I first started hiring people, I took somebody who I liked their personality, and then I started training them. And then really I just dropped them in the spot and I said, call this guy, call this guy, call this guy. If you get stuck, come and see me and I'll tell you what to do. Come and see me and I'll tell you what to do. 14 months ago, I did something that I never did before. I ran an ad in LinkedIn and I found a guy. I wasn't looking for that position. I was looking for a marketing guy. And this guy contacted me and I took a look at his credentials and he had experience working at 3 major metal producers. And of 2 of those metal producers were guys that I was trying to sell metal to, we could never get in the door. Mm-hmm. I went and I met the guy, and I couldn't believe how much money the guy was asking for salary, for a starting salary. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna take a shot. And I learned something very, very important from that. You get what you pay for.
So how would you have done it differently building a sales force?
I would have stolen people that could hit the ground running, that had relationships with customers, that could start building right away and start generating revenue right away. If you're not in that position where you can afford to carry people, you want to have people that can hit the ground running. You're better off to pay a little bit more salary mm-hmm. and a little bit more commission. Mm-hmm. And this way here, when those guys, they start hustling for you, you have something left.
Man. Right, it's not only their $40,000, $50,000 salary base that you're paying, but it's all of the resources that you're putting into them as well. I made a mistake, now that you're saying this. I had a kid who came to me, flew out from New York to come meet with me, and I made a mistake. He wanted 100 grand a year, and I didn't give it to him. It was US, it's a lot of money, 100 grand. For me, it's a lot of money. But I made a mistake because I know this guy. Day one, he would have brought me a contract. I made a mistake. I'm gonna reach out to you. Ezra, I love you, buddy. I'm gonna hit you up again. It's never too late.
Never too late, Ezra.
It's never too late. Okay, cool. Thank you for that. So your advice is find people who have experience in the industry. So what about my industry, which is a relatively new industry? Do I hire somebody from a video production company or hire somebody from a social media? I guess, yeah, from a social media company.
First of all, the other problem is when you're training them is that you're taking the time to train them, and that's detracting from the other things that you have to do that you got to get done to keep the show running. I freaked out when, you know, I'm starting to pay this guy and I'm writing paychecks on a weekly basis and like nothing's happening, but then all of a sudden, like 5-6 weeks later, and I have to tell you something, the first couple of deals that he brought me, I didn't want to discourage the guy mm-hmm. by not supporting what he was doing. Between you and me, those 2 deals turned out so bad, but the guy learned something from that. He had no experience in our business before.
Right.
Don't take the tools that you have and just throw them away. Every salesman I ever had, I let them make all kinds of deals, not because they were profitable or not, but so that the guy at the end of the day could have the sensation of knowing that he could make the deal. He had to covet to know that he could put the whole thing together. Initiative is probably the most important thing. I mean, you know right away when somebody has initiative. You just know. You give somebody a project, or you make a comment. You're in a sales meeting and you make a comment about something in that sales meeting, and before you know it, you have an employee that comes to you and says, you know, you mentioned that thing in the meeting. Look, I got this thing here. You got to encourage the people.
Yeah.
When they come to you with stuff, you got to encourage them to go ahead and do that stuff. Because if you have a guy that keeps coming to you with ideas, even if the idea is stupid and you're constantly shooting that idea down, well, eventually what's going to happen is the guy's not going to come to you with ideas anymore. And you're going to be paying a guy to do a job. And the dog, don't be mediocre. You want to be a top employee. You want to be an asset to your company. Take some initiative. Don't be mediocre. And respect the people that you work around. And I promise you one thing, If you are that person working within an organization, the sky is the limit for you.
Jeff Solomon, the legend himself. This is how he did it. Dad, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I hope to have you again.
Bye, everybody.
God bless, and let's make North America great again.